Hey, White Sox fans, it's Brett Ballantini, and we're doing something sort of new. I guess if you've been watching and listening to our podcast, it's not really new because we've done two opening day pregame podcasts and two opening day postgame podcasts. We're going to try to do a little bit shorter postgame podcast, at least for some select games. And this, interesting choice tonight, but it is the first one we're doing. And I am here with a guy who hopped on with us maybe about a year or so ago, pretty much became our go-to guy on the beat last year with Sports Illustrated. And strangely enough, he also co-hosts the Northside Sox podcast. So you've definitely heard him if you haven't read him yet on site. He'll be our Thursday coverage guy, even though I've stolen the first couple opening day games from him. He's got coverage the rest of the year on Thursdays. It's Sam Sherman. Welcome. I think this is the first time we've ever spoken in this way, Sam. So it's nice to see you.
I think so. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Even after that, whatever that game was.
Even under these circumstances. All right. Well, as much as I tried an extended intro to avoid talking about the game, of course, a 10-inning loss, 2-0, White Sox. Well, actually, both teams very poor hitting against two aces. So that is not unexpected at all. But unfortunately, in the clutch, as teams got into the pens, Shane Bieber pitched 9 innings, so not much pen there. But even in spite of the White Sox, until Garrett Crochet came in, strong bullpen work, but Cleveland did break through. So I guess, Sam, response to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think with baseball, it's hard because, you know, you can watch something for three and a half, four hours, and it can end like that. But, you know, largely, though, the entirety of the game, if you're a fan of pitching, was about as good, if you know, as good as you could possibly see. Bieber was obviously fantastic. Giolito was fantastic. Could not have really pitched any better. You know, I liked, like, a small note there that I don't think is going to be probably talked about too much is Liam Hendricks coming in for, I guess, a hold or whatever that would be considered after his kind of shaky start to the year. Again, very, very limited sample size, but it was nice to see Liam come in and throw a clean inning there. But yeah, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started here, definitely a bummer of an outcome. But at the same time, I look at a team that has been, they're 5-6 now, they're a game under 500. They've been, you know, underperforming would be probably light to say. There's probably a lot of people listening or fans out there that are feeling a lot more strongly about their negative feelings towards the team. And I look at a team that's got far more potential than they're playing with right now. And they're a game under 500. So I think all things considered, you know, you could look at it both ways. You could look at an underperforming team, or you could look at a team that, I mean, they're underperforming no matter what, but I guess my point is, it could be a lot worse. There's a couple concerning things. Like, I know, you know, Sox Twitter was all over the fact that, you know, that Nick Williams and Jake Lamb were in the lineup today. Well, Williams is apparently now just the go-to left fielder, which I guess is the thing. Jake Lamb DHing in there today, almost tying the game right at the end, but coming up a little bit short. So disappointing, but I'm not personally, I'm not going to tell any fan how to be a fan or how they can react. But personally, I'm not going to panic too much. I mean, Giolito threw a gem, and that extra inning rule kind of once again came back to bite the Sox.
I think two positives to take out of it, even though it is hard not to be a little bit down right now, is the fact that the White Sox got really the toughest stretch of their season traditionally out of the way right off the bat. Didn't have to even take the long travel to the West Coast because they're already in Arizona. Got that out of the way. Only one trip to Oakland remaining. You might think that's no big deal, but it is a big deal. And the fact that the team's playing, they're short two, three starters, two and a half starters. You know, again, injuries happen to everybody, but the fact that the White Sox were hit right off the bat, even during a tough stretch with some real key injuries. And of course, Eloy may be out all season. So, you know, all things considered, even a game under 500, losing a game that really is a coin flip going in.
Yeah.
Isn't exactly the worst thing. Although again, of course, everybody always finds some reason to be riled up. Some takeaways from the game, Sam, in terms of, you know, who you thought really stood out, I guess beyond Lucas Giolito, and maybe somebody who really sort of gets the GOAT crown tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously Giolito, but aside from him, like I said, Liam Hendricks coming in and you know, getting the job done for again, not a save situation, but I think it was a positive to see him thrown in there, because I think that's been something that Sox fans early on have been a little concerned about. Is Tony La Russa only going to be using him in save situations, or, you know, where Hendricks has been open early in the season, that he's willing to go in and be that Swiss Army knife and pitch really whenever needed, not just in save situations. So he showed some value there. I do want to make a quick note here about Nick Williams, because I feel bad for Nick Williams. I think that if you're looking at again, Sox Twitter, the Sox fans out there, frustrated to see him get these continual starts over Andrew Vaughn out and left. I'm not defending La Russa's decisions. I think that if it were me managing the team, it'd be Vaughn out there. But there's a lot of kind of hate going towards Nick Williams. And if you're Nick Williams, you didn't do anything wrong. I don't think he's probably a major leaguer at this point, or I don't know if he's shown that. Certainly not a starter. But I think that if those frustrations should probably be thrown towards exclusively Tony La Russa's way, because again, Nick Williams is not going to voluntarily sit himself in favor of Andrew Vaughn.
So. And again, as you're pointing out, real small sample size. The guy's had like, you know, 2-3 starts. And of course, yeah, he ends up being the brunt of a lot of ire, given the fact that Andrew Vaughn is called up, burning that service time and not playing. And that is it is perplexing. But those are separate issues. One thing I want to say, Sam, is, you know, we pay a lot of attention to the advanced stats. Super Joseph Rhesus is doing the six-pack stats for us tonight. But I'm going to click over to the FanGraphs box score. And the White Sox broke win probability added tonight, because I'm not sure I've seen this. I've been referring to the FanGraphs box score since I was on the beat a decade ago, trying to begin to understand advanced statistics. And I still don't exactly understand it well enough to know how the Cleveland pitching tonight has a 1.073 win probability added, which technically to me is more than is possible. I believe 100% is really the highest you can get. And what's odd is the White Sox offense was unbelievably horrible. And again, I'm sure I've seen games like this before, but really Adam Eaton with a 0.39 win probability added. Everybody else negative. Jose Abreu essentially nothing. Everyone else negative. The White Sox pitching actually shows up really well. But the fact that Bieber and Karnachak sort of broke the box score. And to me, in trying to pay attention, particularly to the end of the game, real key, bizarre play, and it seems to be a bugaboo for Yasmani Grandal as a catcher's interference. That was a 110 WPA play. And then ironically enough, the expected batting average of Perez's single was 0.40. But that's how these things work, right? And of course, there was the other insurance run tacked on, but the fact that the Cleveland took a lead on a hit that almost every time is an out, you know, just sort of adds to the frustration and tears just a little bit more hair out of Sox fans' heads, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that it's easy to, and it's also easy to look at, you know, Crochet out there. And I think Sox fans are probably going to be sort of disappointed about how he's sort of started out the year. But I think it's a tough situation. And I think anytime you, your team gets shut out, And it's hard to blame the pitching if they're, you know, because I don't think I'm doing any hot takes here, Brett, to say you have to score to win. I think it's really all in the offense tonight, as far as collectively just really not showing up at all. And again, you know, I want to go back to this idea that it's easy to say, well, why was, you know, Nick Williams and Jake Lamb and Nick Williams and Jake Lamb, but there's seven other guys in that lineup who also underperformed tonight. And it really, you know, at the end of the day, what'd you say? Adam Eaton was the only guy who didn't have a negative, win probability
added. Yeah. Right.
So again, a tough spot for Crochet. Obviously, the catcher's interference situation was a tough break there, especially with the runner getting over the third. you know, I think the hardest thing for me with a game like this is you waste a excellent start from your ace in Lucas mm-hmm. Giolito. And I think that momentum wise, you know, you go in and he did everything he could possibly do in a pitching matchup that lived up like, even more to the billing than I think anyone would have dreamed of as just a baseball observer. And I think in that way, the way that it ultimately ended sort of was that's kind of how these games, these pitching duels end. It's usually not with particularly hard contact or anything like that. It's with some, you know, goofy stuff. And I think that's what we saw tonight.
Yeah. Ironically, when I immediately jumped on the lineup as a head scratcher, which, you know, undeniably there were responses at least to the Southside Sox account that it was as if Tony La Russa was anticipating a 1-0 loss, and he came pretty close actually. So whoever was sending that out, we're pretty sharp. Another thing to add about that press hit, even in a game where there was very little hard contact because of the strength of pitching, that was still like in the lowest, the low quarter of exit velocities in the game. So even by the standard of a game where there wasn't a lot of great contact, that essentially game winning RBI was as weak as you can get. Now on these post games, we're also going to sort of run around the league a little bit, just go through some scores, maybe talk about a couple games beyond the White Sox. And it's probably best to get off this game at least for a minute before we say goodbye to all our devoted listeners. So I'm going to run down scores around the league. And then I think Sam, you're going to maybe pick out a couple AL games to spotlight, but today we had the Red Sox beating the Twins. Red Sox stay really hot. They were playing that game in the snow, at least to begin with. It looked just delightful. I hope that's not coming your way, Sam. A's beat the D-backs in Arizona, 7-5. Mariners and Orioles split a doubleheader. Who cares about the scores? They're both lame. Mets sweep the Phillies, including in the opener. A walk-off, I'm going to talk about in a second. Blue Jays get a little revenge on the Yankees, 7-3. Same thing, Pirates and Padres. Pirates double them up 8-4. Marlins jump all over the Atlanta Braves, 14-8 tonight. Tampa Bay Rays get beaten by the Rangers, who are, let's face it, they're pretty awful, but now 4-7. They won 8-3 tonight. The Cubs managed 6 hits in their game. 6 hits, people, in a 3-2 win, come from behind win up in Milwaukee. Cardinals jumped all over Steven Strasburg, winning 14-3. Tigers up big late on the Astros. Royals squeak one out at home against the Angels, 3-2. Reds and Giants tied up at the moment. And who cares about the Dodgers and Rockies? I think we know how that's going to wind up. Sam, what you got in the AL to chat about?
So looking at that that Tigers win over over the Astros, again, Tigers won 8-2. I believe that game's over now, but unless I'm looking at something wrong here. But in any case, I did look at that game, and I noted Nomar Mazara, our old friend, hit his second home run of the season, doubling his total in a White Sox uniform. And I bring that up obviously for that reason, but also because my co-host Janice and I for Northside Sox were on joined a Tigers podcast a couple weeks ago, and they were, you know, they brought up Nomar Mazara, and I went on to talk about how, you know, I don't, you know, they had some little optimism about, they had a little bit of optimism for Mazara, and I kind of tried to throw a wet blanket over that and say, you know, don't get your hopes up. He's, you know, nothing's there. And of course, you know, I think he had 2 RBIs, he had a couple hits tonight. He's been fine. And, so, you know, that sounds about right. but you know, I did, even on that podcast, I did note that I'm certainly not rooting against him. Mm-hmm. I just thought that after watching him for, you know, even though it was a shortened season, after watching him in a White Sox uniform last year, just did not seem like he was going to find that power stroke. But he's already doubled his total here.
He looked cooked, and now in Motown, uncooked. Back raw Mazara.
Yeah. and then the other thing is I want to go to this Athletics game. Oakland is a team where I believe they started their season 0-6.
Yeah, really bad.
They have now, with the win tonight, improved to 5-7. Again, they're, and I think I want to note that because I think they've won like five of their last six games. And I think this is now four in a row with this win tonight. It just goes to show, I mean, I was thinking about how the White Sox have had this sort of uneven start to the season. Obviously, you know, people are definitely, like I said earlier, probably not happy with or underwhelmed with the performances so far. But this kind of goes to a larger point that I look at where, you know, you look at the Athletics starting out the season 0-6. If the White Sox start out the season 0-6, I can't even imagine what it would be like. It's a baseball's 162 game season. We were just talking right before we started recording. I've just turned 28 years old. And I've, for a lot of those years as a White Sox fan, as a baseball fan, I've lived and died with every game during the season, which as a White Sox fan, most years that's tough to do. But it's just to say that, you know, now the Athletics are sound, looks like they're, you know, they're a solid team. Looks like they're getting back on track. Yeah. Usually in baseball, and I think it's fair to say, if you've got, you know, if you've got the players, it usually doesn't, the manager is not going to make a whole big, a whole lot of a difference. Now we'll see. I mean, depending on how much, how, you know, and I was texting with Janice during the game and saying this, I called it Vaughn Gate. And I don't know, you know, I'm only really just now realizing that Vaughn Gate might be a real thing as far as Andrew Vaughn being, sat for technically a veteran in Nick Williams. We'll see how much more frequently this happens and if it really becomes more of an issue. I don't know if I'm calling it that yet. But again, going the tie in here that I have with the Athletics and the White Sox is, you know, you can, 1 week in baseball can change a lot. And from when the Athletics were 0-6 to now when they're 5-7, I'm sure that their fan base, after now, I believe a 4-game winning streak, is feeling a little bit more optimistic than they were after that first week. So as I told you before we started here, you know, in a week, and even tomorrow night, if the White Sox, you know, take that game, it's almost like the watching the observing the fan reactions on a day-to-day basis can be kind of entertaining.
No kidding. All right. Well, over in the National League, I got a few games for you. Mentioned Steven Strasburg getting clobbered in his game by St. Louis, went 4 innings, 8 runs, 7 earned, 3 home runs, and even old friend Luis Avilan got clobbered pretty well by the Cardinals in that game. With Miami and Atlanta, Marcelo Ozuna, 3-for-4, home run, 3 RBIs. Max Fried, just 4 innings, also 8 runs, 7 earned, 2 home runs, just 2 home runs given up there down in Atlanta. Jonathan Villar came in the 8th inning in extra innings for New York, and he ended up being the guy in the bottom of the inning, having the walk-off single for that 8-inning win in the opener. And the Mets did complete the sweep with a Marcus Stroman win over Aaron Nola. So Mets fans are happy right now. And of course, who cares about the Cubs and who cares about the National Leagues? But it was Wilson Contreras who had a 2-run homer, 6 hits. Again, really stop the presses, stop listening, run your computer, confirm. 6 hits for the Cubs in tonight's game. They are back. Yeah, so that's a National League. And hey, listen, as we wind this thing up, let's just review the fact that we're going to basically, hey, when I was a kid, I called sports phone and I got a bunch of scores by one guy reading them and it was pretty boring. I don't really want to do a post game thing where it's me reading into a microphone scores. You can get that anywhere. Who cares? I'm certainly not that entertaining. It'll be fun to hop on with different Southside Sox personnel over the course of the year. Of course, headlined by one Sam Sherman in the debut episode, just to make it fun, because let's face it, anybody can just look at a box score. We're trying to put some perspective on these post games and maybe have a little fun as well. To that end, let me acknowledge 171 comments when we went on air on site on the game thread tonight. Anohito, 28 comments made. He's atop the leaderboard. And it looks like, in fact, I might read this. It's going to take us into the explicit territory. The most recommended comment. Let's see if I can find it quickly. That came from Obnoxious American. And it's talking about extra innings. Enough with this man on second dog shit. You got a total classic going on, and now you have this clown show garbage pissing all over it. And this, believe me, is a sentiment that I have about extra innings. Sam, you witnessed it firsthand at the ballpark last year. They probably had an extra inning game at home. I don't know if they did, but okay, certainly witnessed it. And it was, I imagine, horrifying to you as well.
Yeah, it's funny. I think that when I was covering the team last year at the ballpark, I didn't mind it, especially later into the season, because you know, you get a little bit tired.
Oh, I imagine the beat guys love this role.
But see, I didn't think, I didn't think that was going to happen to me in my first, you know, I thought I'd, you know, but you know, you do. I hate even saying that because it was nothing mm-hmm. but an incredible experience. But no, you know, you get, if you're doing a few games there in a row or whatever, and you get, you know, you can be a little bit slow, as people know baseball can be. I love it, obviously, but no, at the park, but no, watching it in this setting in kind of a different context. I mean, I thought maybe like I said, last year, I thought maybe it was growing on me a little bit, but no, that comment is a great point. You take a classic pitching matchup and you do this to it. And we can thank our overlord, Rob Manfred, for that.
Big baseball fan. All right. We are going to try and get this up. So all you on the West Coast or the people who are just waiting up to hear this podcast you didn't know was even going to happen, to hear it close to live tonight, got to get that up for you. So before midnight, it'll be up. Or otherwise, hey, with your morning cup of coffee or Coca-Cola or tea, enjoy me and Sam talking about a pretty excruciating game, but the rest of the day around baseball as well. Sam, thanks for taking the plunge with me and jumping on for this.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for reading, listening, and a couple of you watching.